Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
When I first received the scriptures from Jay, I was confused. I didn't know how they fit together. The first one comes from Genesis, and it describes the fourth day of creation, where God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the lights in the heaven. The second scripture comes from Matthew's, where he describes the visit of the Magi. And the third from Ephesians, that describes the blessings of Christ and God's plan for us. As I studied these and meditated on them, God revealed to me his message. Genesis. The Genesis scripture reminds us that God is the creator and the master of the heavens and has the power to place a star in the heavens to guide us to Jesus Christ's birth. In Matthew, the Magi, who were studying the heavens for guidance, saw that star and followed it to Bethlehem and found Jesus. The Ephesian scripture reveals God's plan and makes us aware that God has placed the star in the heavens to guide the Magi and to guide us. And so God has placed the perfect light, Jesus, on earth to guide us to him and to God himself. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that only through him can we go to God. So listen for God's message for you as I read the scriptures this morning. First of all, Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day and the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw them that it was good. And there was the evening, and there was the morning of the fourth day. Now, since we read Matthew as the unified lesson, I will skip that for the time. So I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he has chose us to in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He presided over the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given freely, the one he has loved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. I want to begin by telling you a story. It's a true story. There was a little lad who as he grew up, somehow became very fearful of the dark. And a lot of children end up there, don't they? Probably some of the grown-ups sitting in the congregation can remember back to a time when you were afraid of the dark as a little child. And no offense, because I like nightlights too, but I've seen a lot of grown-ups with nightlights on that, you know, kind of go down the hall to the little room there, okay? Don't want to go stubbing our toes in the dark and so forth. But a lot of people fear the dark. There's all sorts of dark. There's the dark that comes naturally. There's the darkness of a terrorist attack. There's the darkness of physical blindness. And even worse than that, the darkness of spiritual blindness. But back to the little lad. He was scared to death of the dark. He was one of those kids who would go to bed and they didn't have a nightlight in that house. So he'd pull the covers way over his head and leave his nose out just enough to breathe. Because blankets are magic. Monsters can't touch them. Okay? So here he is shivering under the blankets, even when it's warm. He's afraid to go out in the backyard. He's afraid to do much of anything where it's dark. Then one evening when the stars were particularly bright, there wasn't a moon, this little lad's grandfather, who had a good Scots burr to his voice, takes the wee lad out and he holds him up and he says, "Laddie, do you ken the stars? Do you understand the stars? Do you see them?" And the wee one says, "Aye, grandfather." And the grandfather goes on and he says, "Well, my wee laddie, the stars are na but pinpricks in the floor of heaven. And there's an angel peeking through each one at you." Do you know that little boy was never afraid of the dark again? Never feared the dark. He knew that for every star there was a pinprick in the floor of heaven. And every pinprick had an angel winking at him through it. It was a wonderful way to dispel the fear of darkness and to drive it away. And as that lad grew older, he came to really love one hymn, "Fair is Lord Jesus," because it has that great line. "Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry hosts." Brothers and sisters, the stars are there for a reason, not just for the Hubble telescope or whichever one's replaced it by now. Not just so some astronomer can find something that they say may be a world that has life and then they find out it's 2.5 times too big to have life. But the stars are there for you and for me. God, when he began all this, he said, what was the first thing? Let there be light, right? And then on the fourth day, he takes all that light and he gathers it together. And some of it, he makes that bright, beautiful sun of ours up there. Isn't it nice? It's shining through the windows on this cold, cold morning. And then he made the moon pure and silvery and bright for the night, and the stars to twinkle and to fill us with wonder, and also the shooting stars and everything else. But as God made this, he had a purpose, because it says in Scripture about the stars, "Let them be for signs and for holy seasons, holy occasions, for days and for years." Now, I know we've all been taught, or at least I hope we've been taught, what is called the proto-evangelium, the first telling of the gospel. And, you know, that's Genesis 3:14-15, where God says to the serpent, "Hey, you're cursed. You're going to go on your belly the rest of your life and eat dust. And the woman's seed and your seed are going to hate each other. You will bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head." And this is a prophecy of Christ coming to stop Satan, to take our place and to die for us. But I believe that even before this official proto-evangelion, that God was putting these words here in Genesis to say, A star is coming, a star different than any other star, a star that will outshine and a star that will wander as do the planets, but a star that will wander with a purpose and with a set course. God saying before this, sin did not catch God unprepared. Jesus is not a Band-Aid after the boo-boo. God created everything. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that you and I would sin. And yet he still created everything. And so he said, the day is coming, even here at the beginning of creation, this fourth day of creation, that I'm putting in motion the time for the greatest star ever to be. The greatest sign, the greatest wonder, because I'm going to give the greatest gift of all, Jesus, my Son, Jesus, whose name means Savior. And so we go to Matthew, and we find out about the birth of this miraculous child and his wonderful gift, God's gift to us. I want you to think about this. Down at the planetarium, they used to do a show called The Christmas Star, and they'd ask people to press a button whether they thought it was a comet or a supernova or if it was a miracle. Most of the people used to push miracle on that little button. But here they come, the wise men. They come out of the east, Persia, India, perhaps even China, maybe even from up in the steppes of Russia. We don't know. We don't know how many of them there were. We know they had three gifts. Gold for a king, frankincense for divinity, and myrrh for suffering, for a sacrifice. We do know they traveled at least 2 years. How many people want to get on a stinky, smelly camel and ride for 2 years? Any takers here? No. But they did, because we find out later that Herod killed all the children 2 years of age and younger. So they were on the road at least 2 years. They didn't have any AAA triptychs. They didn't have TomToms and Garmins. They didn't have Hardee's and McDonald's and Arby's and King's and all those other restaurants. They didn't have DoubleTree hotels. For 2 years they journeyed. That star that they followed was foretold in Genesis. A star for a season, for a sign, for a wonder that the Christ was being born. Brothers and sisters, what about you? What about me? I mean, we weren't there when God said, "Let there be light." We weren't there when he took that light and balled it up into the sun and the moon and the stars. We weren't even there with the wise men. So what about the star for us? And that's the amazing thing. Even as God planned this star before sin, even as God planned Jesus to come before he said, "Let there be light," God planned for you and for me. It says in Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing," where? In the heavenly places, in Christ. Now listen to this. Hear it fresh. "Just as he chose us in him," when? When we gave our profession of faith? No, huh? "Just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Think about this. Before God said, "Let there be light," he knew Jesus would have to die. Before God said, "Let there be light," he chose you. He chose each of us in Jesus Christ. There are some people who go around, they like to ask that question,
when were you saved?
You know, and they expect you to have some date and time. I was saved since before the foundation of the world by the good will of God, and that's not arrogance on my part because I can't save myself. I had to be saved. I was a sinner who wandered along the edge, fell down, and I'm laying down there in a million-foot chasm on the rocks, and I'm broken and I'm dead, and I need somebody to come get me, and Jesus jumped down to get me. God planned that before the foundation of the world, before God said, let there be light. He chose us in Jesus Christ to be his people. Before God made the stars, he chose us in Christ. He predestined us. He knew us. Now, we weren't pre-existent souls. That's Mormon heresy. We don't want to go there. We didn't pre-exist. Soul comes into existence with conception. That's the scripture. But rather, God knew it all. And he knew us. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew our sin. He knew my sin, your sin. And so, before he did anything, he planned for a star, a sign, a wonder, before all things, because he loved us before all things. So for whom does the star of Bethlehem shine? For creation, yes, all creation shall be redeemed. That includes the animals. Did the star shine for Christ Jesus? Yes, it was the ultimate sign of his divinity. He's the light of the world, and God set that light up there. Was it there for the wise men? Yes, the star of Bethlehem was there for the wise men to guide them. But I want you to know this, brothers and sisters. In all the darkness that's around us, even the darkness that is within us in our sin, the star shines for us. The star shines for you. It shines for me. The wise men gave up 2 years of their lives to follow that star. Will you and I follow the star of Christ the rest of our lives? The star shines for you. Will you follow? Let us pray. Lord God, we get lost and turned around and confused, but you alone can guide us. Let the star of Bethlehem enter our lives by your Holy Spirit, by the blood of Christ. And lead us home to you. And may we journey together in faith, in hope, in love all the days of our life until we finally follow the star home to you at the last. Grant us this grace to your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.